We shall begin. Call the meeting in order. We have everybody in attendance except County Supervisor Terry Rose. He said he will be here. He's just going to be a little late. And Youth and Governors Kate Giroux, is her first name Kate?
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to be able to make it tonight. And maybe you could introduce yourself.
I'm Jasmine Galindo.
Which school are you from?
Thank you.
Which school are you from?
Indian Trail.
Okay.
Jasmine, what was your last name?
Galindo.
Galindo?
Galindo, yes.
Are you in the academy or the regular high school?
The academy.
What house?
Biotech.
Okay. Nice meeting you. Okay, well, welcome. Citizens' comments. Right now, the meeting is open for citizens' comments. Are there any citizens wishing to come forward? All right, no citizens. Citizens' comments are closed. Approval of the minutes. We have the minutes.
So moved. Second.
Minutes of January 24th are moved by Supervisor Gentz, second by Supervisor Arrington. All those, any additions or corrections? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. First on the agenda, then, is the resolution to approve the county executive appointment of Linda Gashki.
Gashi.
To the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center Board. Is there somebody to introduce Ms. Gashi?
Yes. We asked Linda to serve on the ADRC board as a representative of Aurora. We have a representative from Kenosha Hospital on the board, and we've been missing a representative from Aurora for about a year when the previous member had her assignment changed and she couldn't make it to meetings. So we're real happy to have Linda. We've worked with Linda really over many years because she was worked in home health for many years and had a lot of interaction with our office and has given us many referrals, and we're very happy to have her nominated to the board.
Okay. Any questions for Linda? Supervisor Gentz.
My only question would be with the meeting. Let me get that open.
I think you have to leave it open.
Oh, I do?
To make sure it's a public meeting.
Sorry.
One of the doors, anyways.
My only question would be that with the meeting nights and such or days, is there any conflict with your schedule?
I work part time now at Aurora Medical Center, and Thursdays, meetings days won't be a problem.
Okay, that's my only concern. Otherwise, everything looks good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So how often on Thursday? Is it one Thursday a month? Or?
They have been meeting every other month now.
Okay.
And on the Thursday at noon.
Okay, so that works for your schedule. Okay.
Move to approve. Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gentz, second by Supervisor Arrington to approve. And this would be a recommendation to the county board, and technically they have to, you know, the final vote is up to the county board. Any last questions?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you very much.
Thanks for volunteering.
I'm shot.
Most of those in my district, so she's good.
Her resume is.
Well, that makes all the difference.
There it does.
Next on the agenda, then, is number five, resolution to modify our 2012 budget to add intoxicated driver program enhancement grant. So
we're real excited to have received a $50,000 grant, which is we are contracting with Hope Council for its intoxicated driver program enhancement grant. And Jim did all the work on putting it together and with the Hope Council, and I'll let him explain what
Yeah, it basically does four or five things. In general, raises the expectations of our service provider network. Maybe I should give you a little bit of background on the IDP, Intoxicated Driver Program. It's a program of the state of Wisconsin that defines county responsibilities relative to when people are charged with driving while intoxicated. Currently, what happens is people are remanded to the Hope Council for an assessment, and during that assessment, they develop a treatment plan, and the plan is either for them to go to Gateway Technical College for classes or to go for treatment. This grant is looking at the people who have been referred to treatment, so they probably have a alcohol abuse or dependence issue. To this point, there have not been a lot of expectations of the state of this program. Our county role has simply been to contract with the Hope Council for the assessments and then for indigent people, make sure they have treatment availability, and we do that with Oakwood Council and Associates. This is sort of a step above where with this $50,000, we try to improve the overall quality of the program. We're going to do that by developing a steering committee or oversight committee. That committee is going to develop expectations for our provider network, those treatment providers that serve the population. We're going to be using what's called evidence-based practices and motivational interviewing and telephonic continuity of care counseling, which means when people start their treatment, we're going to be following with people at the Hope Council, making sure they're following through with their treatment plan. We're also going to, the Hope Council will be hiring two part-time recovery coaches. And then we're going to implement an evaluation tool, which is called the Socrates. And the Socrates measures how people are progressing through taking action with their recovery plan. So that's pretty much it. The majority of the money will go to the Hope Council in hiring these part-time counselors.
Supervisor could be.
Did you write this grant, Jim, or
someone? Gwida and I.
Great job by doing that.
Yeah.
I'll be wholeheartedly supporting this, but my query is that me being a board member of Hope Council, could I actually vote on this or not?
Because you're going to abstain?
Well, I don't have no legal counsel here to advise me one way or another.
I actually want to do some grilling first.
Don't want to grill me now. Too close for that.
Question. The drug court that's going on, is this going to be coordinated with that?
No. They're really two separate things. The drug court, our drug court now, doesn't get involved with OWI offenses.
Okay. The DA's office should be made aware of that. with regard to the monitoring, be it Socratic or whatever term of art you're using, are we going to be having people developing the same plan that's normally developed for a driver safety plan or any kind of AOTA assessment, and then doing something greater than just phone quizzing or something like home monitor detention at this point?
And I should probably have started with making the differentiation. This is not a punitive or a corrections type of program. This is a treatment program. So since for sure most of these recipients will be second-time offenders. They'll also have involvement with WCS, Wisconsin Correctional Services, who has responsibility for developing a plan to the court after they've been picked up the second time. So, this is simply intended not so much to report back to the court unless the court requests it. But this will be to keep people on track with their counseling, and then when the council's asked for a recommendation, we can then say they've been compliant and then they've, you know, progressed their treatment.
But I guess that gets to the heart of what I'm asking, because WCS will only deal with the people when they are on bond, while the case is still open and before they've been found guilty. So you're going to be dealing with people afterwards, most likely, and the question then is going to become, okay, if you've developed the driver safety plan, the recovery plan, or whatever the term of art, you're then how going to be enforcing it to be sure that this is actually being followed by the recipient, and there's no additional tax levy, it says, but still, how are we going to be being certain that we'll be reaping the benefit of following through with providing the service?
That would be the Socrates, and we're measuring here the progress they make in treatment. So I think you're wondering more about the legal issues of reporting back to the court?
No, it's actually the cost benefit that I'm looking at beyond the court when you already start post-sentencing. And what I'm asking is, okay, so through your Socratic method or Socrates, you're going to be measuring how successful they are. Well, if somebody comes back and says, well, geez, these people are unsuccessful, you're going to have data that will then be invested $50,000 of compiling data that says, yeah, this was unsuccessful. You've spent the $50,000, but you haven't really gotten good results with the program.
If people repeat, that would imply that the program's not doing well. But we're measuring ambivalence, recognition, and taking steps. We're actually going to measure their attitudes about their addiction. Do they have ambivalence? You know, most folks who are in this picture don't really think they have an alcohol problem. So part of what we're doing is educating them about what their needs are, you know, getting them to take some responsibility, having them recognize that they have an issue, and then measuring how they're following through with treatment. So that's why I say we're measuring their progress through treatment. I think, you know, obviously, you know, the fact that they don't repeat, or if they do repeat, they speak to how effective.
Okay.
I think, you know, ideally, you know, at least me personally, would like to see an OWI court in Kenosha, because I think that's the best evidence-based tool to hold people accountable and make sure that they're progressing as we intend. But since that's not present here at this point in Kenosha County, this could be a logical kind of next step towards that.
And how long would the $50,000 be expected to last for?
$50,000 goes for 1 year, then we can reapply and it can go a second year. It'll be evaluated.
Thank you. That's all my questions.
Thank you, Supervisor Gimps.
Well, I'm all for grants and getting grants. I also do, like Supervisor Celebre, like to see what they're going to go for and how they're going to work. And you threw out a lot of names and you went through a lot of stuff that I believe is way more than a $50,000 scope. But let me back up and try to put it in layman's terms here. Most of this money is going to go toward two part-time coaches. Okay. Are they current employees of the county or anywhere? Are they going to be new? Okay. And they're going to understand that when the grant money, this is always a question of mine because I want to make sure that we don't have to deal with people who then don't have a position if you can't have a grant next year.
Yeah. No,
I mean, that's going to be built into their contract to say if the grant money runs out and we don't get another grant, then
they're actually employees of Hope Council. Our contract is with Hope Council, and that's for 1 year, and these are employees of
Hope Council. Okay.
I think they have a similar message of all of our contractors. You know, we operate on a year-to-year basis, and everything we do, or most everything we do, is subject to funds other than county tax levy.
My next question is going towards, I guess you're going to need to explain for a second here to me, You're going to, are you looking to create a system? You said two life coaches, a group or committee to put something together. Are you creating a system, or are you expounding on one we already have? Explain that to me for a second.
Bringing together a system. Actually, this started like over 3 years ago, and we had no money. And Guida, Logan, and I, and some people from Kenosha Human Development Services got together and talked about how really there is no oversight by the state of the Intoxicated Driver Program, and how we felt we could improve it locally, given the connections with previous relationships we had with one another. And so one of our first projects was a NIATX project, Network to Improve Substance Abuse Treatment.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Which was not funded. It comes out of the UW School of Engineering, and it's to apply engineering techniques to human services. And one of the tenets of that was the quicker you get people into treatment, the more effective their treatment outcomes were. So we started self-improvement. We met quarterly over at Common Grounds. No extra money, just because we want to do a better job. And that led to a huge reduction in treatment delays getting people in the IDP. As time went on, Guida found another project to work on, and you probably may have read about it, called biomarkers, using hair, fingernail, and blood samples to make sure that people are abstinent while they're involved in the IDP program. We didn't have any money to do that either, but we have the people in the program pay for that. That was just in the paper. So the third, when this money came along, I mean, we thought, hey, this would give us some money to do what we're already naturally doing. You know, and I don't want to make this sound overly ambitious, but so building upon what we had already done, and then the expectation of the state was to use evidence-based practice, which I mentioned, motivational interviewing, which is a technique of interviewing that's been proven to show greater outcomes in treatment. And to do that, this form of telephonic counseling, they call telephonic continuity of care counseling, is another evidence-based practice. So with that, you know, it fit very well within the $50,000. And so we appreciate that this money will go away, or might go away. But I think if we demonstrate a lower incidence of repeat drunk driving, I think that has community value. I also think, too, that focusing on the treatment element, not the punitive element, but the treatment element, gives people a greater opportunity for success.
Well, I would agree, and I think creating the system that everybody, that you guys had the brainchild for, would be something that you could then prove and use as some type of result where you couldn't measure anything in the past. So, you know, I mean, I do see, and I thank you for explaining it on a lower level to me, because I'm challenged at certain times with some of this stuff.
You don't live my life, so.
Yeah. Want to trade? No. I appreciate that, and it seems like a very good program for, you know, for what you're going to do with it. So I'll move to approve if there's no motion on the floor.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Supervisor Gentz, second by Supervisor Celebrity. Any other questions from the committee? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Youth and Governance.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda then would be the resolution to modify the 2012 budget for the State of Wisconsin Women's Health Reproductive Health Program.
The health department, in cooperation with the state of Wisconsin, has agreed to be the regional fiscal agent for the state of Wisconsin, and were awarded $205,453 to be the fiscal agent for Kenosha, Walworth, Rock, Green, Lafayette, and Grant counties. Will be subcontracting with these organizations. They previously had a direct fiscal relationship with the state of Wisconsin. The fiscal responsibilities that we'll assume will be passed through of state funds, and there will be two direct service providers, They're Southwestern Wisconsin Community Action Agency, and their office is in Dodgeville, and also First Choice, and their office is in Beloit. We'll also perform one on-site program site visit and one audit per year. And from being the regional fiscal agent, we'll receive 7.5% administrative fee, so that's...
That spelled out somewhere on this budget modification, and we'll end up with $14,500. I'm not seeing that.
It may not be. I just have some additional information to share with you.
Excuse me?
It may not be. I asked for additional information to share with the committee. Okay. More detail.
All right. You said you have some, you said?
That was part of it, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So in other words, for being the
fiscal agent,
we get $14,000. So that should be additional revenue then, right? So we actually would get to keep $14,000.
Correct.
I guess I don't understand then why it wouldn't appear. The Finance Committee's seen this before, all right? No, it's not been before the Finance Committee? I see where it is. It's in the salaries, FIC, and retirement. Any other questions, then, from the committee? Supervisor Gaines?
I would assume, since you're getting administrative fees, that it's been researched and the cost of taking on the fiscal responsibility duties are going to be covered.
Right.
Okay.
We're already providing program services, and so this is just an enhancement. We're included as one of the counties, so we're already very familiar with the obligations of the fiscal agent.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gaines, second by Supervisor Arrington. Any last questions from anybody on the committee?
I think, though, that when you bring this to finance, you should separate out that $14,000. If he has to look that hard to find it,
we'll
we should be able to see it. So,
thank you. Good suggestion.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Next on the agenda, then, would be... Department of Human Services year-end report. It says 12/31/2012. I'm sure that's 12/31/2011. Pardon?
Yes, yeah, number seven.
There's two.
Oh, did I miss one?
Yeah, I got modified.
Oh, another one. Okay, resolution to modify 2012 budgets for the Family Foundation's Comprehensive Home Visiting Program.
The Health Department has been awarded a $366,000 grant from the State of Wisconsin Department of Children and Family Services for the Family Foundation Comprehensive Home Visiting Program. And this will support the Nurse Family Partnership Program, which is a new initiative for our community. This is a fully funded grant that will staff, that will be hired, which will include a supervisor for public health nurses, which will be the home visitors, and one administrative assistant. The program and the funding will continue for a minimum of 2 to 3 years, but we have heard that there's also going to be a long-term commitment to this program up to 4 to 5. We're looking at the long-term implementation of this program. This is, Kenosha was one of the 8 proposals that were awarded to the state of Wisconsin, and this is an evidence-based best practice program.
Questions from the committee? I'll start with one. You know, I see you responded to L. Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly clear what his question was and why would he, what was he getting at? Why did he ask the question and what's your response to it?
He wanted to know if we could hire the staff, the public health nurse, home visitors, and the supervisor through an agency and contract through another organization to provide the service to us. this type of program is for public health, community-based knowledge. It's most agencies work with home health agencies, nursing homes, hospital, so they have technical skills, hands-on, direct patient care type of skills, and not the skill sets that we would be looking for to provide the services within this program.
Okay, so you're going to hire employees to do this, or
yes.
Do you already have employees?
We would be hiring employees.
How many?
One supervisor, which would have a minimum of bachelor's degree in nursing.
Minimum of what? I'm sorry.
A minimum of a bachelor's degree in nursing. Preferred would be a master's degree. Four public health nurses, which would all have a bachelor's degree in nursing. And so one administrative assistant.
And those are all full-time jobs?
Four public health nurses would be a full-time, supervisor would be three-quarters, and the assistant would be full-time.
Yep.
Okay. I saw that on the back, but I didn't, I thought this was part, this was trying to make your argument. I didn't really realize that you were hiring the, you know.
I had a question.
Well, that's a good thing. If five people get a job.
Absolutely.
Four, five, six people. Right against.
I like how my line is right in here.
Good.
See that? It's eliminated if the grant funding is not secured.
That's right.
That's good.
People are, when they're hired, that they're notified that immediately.
Okay.
But you expected, you said you expected to continue for
4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and I didn't see that anywhere written. So I'm assuming that it says something like that in the grant.
We have a letter of commitment. Within the commitment is you show positive outcomes, and then you reapply each year to receive funding. And this is continual federal funds passed through the state, then down to the counties.
So really, it's a yearly thing. You
yes,
still have to show. So
absolutely, but this is there's fidelity to this program through the data collection. It's a model program with very specific guidelines and follow through within this program.
So your results can be measured.
Absolutely. Or you would not be able to even apply.
All right, we'll do approve.
Second.
If I may, excuse me.
Let me take the motion and I'll answer your question. Motion by Supervisor Genn, second by Supervisor Kubicki. On the question, Supervisor Celebrate.
Thank you. My question was, I see on tonight's agenda the full board as well, and I appreciate your clarification. We have before us a policy resolution creating a contracting policy for Kenosha County. Now, this is an example of, I think, we're hiring employees, and they will be Kenosha County employees and therefore would be exempt from this. But this is a very good, I think, example of what we perhaps should follow in the future for this very reason, because if we're going to be implementing policy, a countywide policy in the future, anything that comes before us, such as via grants or working with IOTA and having a grant money that we're then going to be extending, we will be subject to any countywide policy that we follow. And I think we need to keep separated exactly as you're doing, which is to follow hiring of Kenosha County employees as opposed to taking money from Madison or wherever and siphoning it off through third-party contractors. I commend you for following this particular procedure here, and I just wish to, for whatever it's worth, bring attention to the bigger picture that the county is now adopting as well. So thank you.
Yeah, this would not be part of the contracting policy because you're going to hire employees.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions? We have a motion on the floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Youth and governance?
Thank you very much.
Now, number 8, Department of Human Services year-end report.
Number 8, your tab 8, purple. We were
Q4 finance a week or a week and a half ago with this report prior to, and I had the chair's permission to go before them for human services. And this was done prior to any kind of county health insurance adjustment, which I understand should be coming out this week sometime. It should be approximately $2 million countywide that we will have additional charges. But at this point, I don't have it for human services.
We're going to get $2 million in a whole even countywide.
Additional charges, right. So this is the same report that I've been giving quarterly, and we just added the year end. So Aging and Disability Services has a surplus of $250,000. That detail is on page 2 of the report. And it really is the institutes. We have savings in the institute placements. So our residential was a little bit over. However, that's a lower cost placement. And so the savings in the institutes gave us that extra $250,000. And also the days that we used for residential placements and institute placements were down for the year from our budget. For Brookside Care Center, when I was here for the third quarter report, we had said that October 1st was the Medicare rate increases that we suspected. And we kind of gave an estimate based upon previous residents that were in our Medicare residents that were in the facility through September 30th, that we might have a potential deficit of $237 at the end of the year because of those rating decreases. However, the team worked well together, and we kept that at a minimum. And at that 12/31, we were a break even. For Brookside. And committee members, I have never been able to tell you this time of year in 11 years. So I'm so excited for them and me. But again, that's prior to any health insurance adjustments or coming by. But I'm really happy with the teamwork that they're doing. And I thank Fran very much. And you'll hear about our admissions coordinator later, so she's also a major player in that. And then Children and Family Services, again, we had juvenile placement savings. Days were down, and some of our costs were down. Our corrections were truly down in 2011 for the juveniles, and that was our biggest expense. So we were able to do more preventive work and keep the kids out of home placements. And then health, because there were some vacancies in some of the positions, that they were showing a surplus of $98,000. The medical examiner will probably come in with a surplus, maybe $20,000, $25,000. I'm not exactly sure at this point. But we had that at break-even. Veterans is break-even, and so is workforce development. So the total then for the department at this point is just under $1.3 million returned to the general fund.
Very nice. Well,
I'm repeating my performance. What are you talking about?
It's always nice to get the favorable reports. The meetings go longer when
that's what Supervisor Gant said at finance. He said it's always nice to hear good things.
That's right.
It's always nice to report good things.
I'm sure it would be much more animated if they were negative.
Supervisor Gant?
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm really, really proud of Brookside and what you guys have done. I think that, you know, back when I started and Supervisor Rose looked at Fran and said, you know, this is a business, you know, money, and I'll tell you what, it's a fine sword and a fine line you walk, providing service and being a business. And I think that Fran has led that team over there very well, and I think Brookside has done a very good job getting to where they are now. I really, you know, in sitting through all these reports now for 4 years, you're right. I mean, you're much more welcome when you bring this kind of news.
Well, and if you've heard the wonderful story about us having the 5-star, you know, the total.
I read it in the paper. I loved it. Yeah.
And I mean, to break even and have that at the same time. That
right.
Is just
that's what I'm saying. I just think Brookside has done a very, very good job. I mean, they're on the top of their game, so it's very good. That's all I have.
Anybody else?
Move to receive and file.
Second by...
Second.
All right. So motion by Supervisor Gens, second by Supervisor Decker. Receive and file. Any other last-minute questions? All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, thank you. Now we have a report.
I warned them up for you about things.
All right, thank you. The update on the emissions coordinator position.
I brought Diana in. She got married. Diana Christofferson. Diana is our new emissions coordinator. You've been here for
since September, yeah.
Well, so she's not that new. So I wanted to bring her, remember Christina, our other admissions coordinator, got married also, but she moved to California. And Diane has assured me she's staying here.
Yes.
She actually has been a Kenosha County employee. She's transferred from the health department. And very, very lucky to have her. She's got a very large skill set. She knows the community. She knows Kenosha. And she has a great personality, and she's developed and forged relationships with the important people in town that you need to develop important relationships with to keep admissions going. We've been as busy as can be. This last year, we topped our admissions again, and I think we admitted 230 people last year. Or 230 on the dot, which is
230. What was it?
Residents we admitted to the facility. So every year we're opening the facility to more and more Kenosha County residents to experience. We have it's a rehab business that's going in and out so much, and that's what pays the bills. So we need to keep that and keep working toward meeting our budget. We have 30 Medicare patients in-house right now. That's our budget.
That's good.
So we're doing our job, and Diane is doing her job. She just sent letters today.
Yes.
With all the orthopedic doctors bragging about our facility and our good rating. We do have orthopedic doctors that specifically request their patients to come to us for rehab. And again, that is our Medicare business is our bread and butter, so we need to make sure that we're meeting the physician's needs as far as what they like for rehab. And so we're actually having a team come in this week, maybe next week, I can't remember exactly, with what they want special for their patients and how they rehab. Or maybe this doctor wants his hip patients to walk 50 feet, where this doctor wants his hip patients to walk 75 feet. And we're going to have that, we're going to be learning those specific things for the doctors. And, we couldn't do it without her. Jen, anything you have to add? I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. I feel privileged to work for the Side Care Center. I'm listening to Lori sing praises of our budgetary positives. But today I listened to two family members who came in, one family member and one current resident, who told me how they felt like family and looks like. And they said they understand the superficial welcome, but when they come to Brookside, they really feel a warm welcome and very comfortable there. I'm pleased to work under Prince's leadership.
Supervisor Gens.
My question would be, when you took over, have you done anything different than the past person in your position? I mean, do you have any other things that you're looking to do? You got out a letter about our rating and such, which is great. If we can't get them on the bandwagon now, it's going to be tough. But, I'd like to hear what you look at as your job description and how you are innovatively challenging that.
Well, my position description includes admissions and marketing. One of the problems I have in my job is I'm so darn busy admitting people right now, and I'm honest with that. I don't have a whole lot of time to do marketing, so I squeeze that in. yes, I do plan on making more contact with NICS, the cardiologist, because we do get people for cardiac rehabilitation. Also, we get people for wound care, so from the hospitals and for short-term nursing care. So I do plan on getting letters out to them also. In addition, we meet with the social workers at both hospitals, at United Hospital and Aurora, to nurture that relationship and to deepen that relationship, because those are the people that we get our referrals from, bottom line. The physician can refer them, but those people are the individuals that actually make the referral. I plan on expanding that relationship and working on that right now with Select Specialty Hospital in Franklin, I think that's where it is. Working with the social workers there, because we have a lot of people, unfortunately, that do leave Kenosha for medical care and surgical care. We get referrals from Freighter. We get referrals from All Saints in Racine for Kenosha County residents. So, a lot. In addition, we also have the Brookside Foundation, and we have wonderful benefactors. We have all of our TVs donated by Dennis Trohop just recently. So, I'm starting to work on building the foundation too. Met with a couple of funeral directors, and Bob Pitts and I plan on going to meet with some more funeral directors. Because unfortunately, when people pass away, if they don't realize that Brookside depends on donations, when they're filling out that form for the newspaper, they forget about us. So we're going to market that too.
I just think that it's important. Is she the only one that does the admitting, or does she have help with admissions?
She works a lot of hours.
Well, the reason I ask that question is if you forego marketing, down the road, you're going to feel that lull. I mean, I've been in sales my whole life, and it's a roller coaster. And if you're focused on admission and you're not marketing, you're going to find out when you've admitted all the people and the marketing's not there, that there's a lull, and I really would not like to see that. So maybe we can, I don't know if there's other people that can help her with the administering people.
Admitting.
Thank you. But I really think that marketing is a key for your position, and obviously with the two hospitals that are foremost here, but getting out to other areas as well, like you said, I think marketing is a key.
I do attend, senior center events, and we're going to, some resource fairs and things like that, too. But yes, that is so important. And there's a lot of soft sales, too, that I do. Like Grant said, I have a lot of relationships, old relationships with both hospitals. So, I work on both, because sometimes those soft sales help me get the sales.
I want to thank you for taking on the challenging task of your position there, doing the dual role of marketing and admissions. I know that's going to be tough, and I'm sure between both you, Fran, and you can address that. If, as my colleague mentioned here, if there's a lull in that, we aren't going to be able to market, and you're just admitting, we can work something out there. But I'm sure with your team in place, what you have is going to work through that. And I'm also happy that we hired someone that was within the Kenosha County family. I tout that highly. I like that a lot. And then we do have really good people within our county right here that are working. I appreciate you coming on board and taking on that task. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a couple questions. Based on my father breaking his hip about a month ago, going to rehab facility, two of them actually. First of all, one of the things that happened to him is he got admitted on a Saturday night, so Sunday they had no people there doing rehab, so basically he sat for a day. Do we have rehab going on a Sunday or the weekends, and are we in the same situation? If you happen to come in on a Saturday night, you're sort of dead in the water until Monday.
We have rehab 6 days a week. Most facilities do not have rehab on Sunday.
That's
because it's not
but if we have someone come in, which we frequently do, late Friday night, our therapist will be there Saturday morning to see.
Well,
but the first thing the therapist does for rehab in the actual rehab department is have to evaluate them. And there's still rehab going on the unit with the nurses and their aides and things like that. So all the doctor's orders are still being followed.
Okay. Well, in your conversation, personally, in hindsight, I think the hospital should have kept him one more day because it was mentally, he was 89, and it's mentally puts him in a bad mental state because he's, you know, just not really ready to go to a rehab center and then find out there's no rehab going on for a whole day. That whole day seems like forever, that first day. Second of all, observing what I saw in equipment for rehab, is our equipment up to speed? I know we're sort of, it's sort of like the thing right now, rehab centers, probably because the baby boomers are coming along or whatever, I'm not even sure, but the second place he went to, they had just built a whole new rehab wing, and it just seems like we're focusing on that as well. I noticed both places, their equipment seemed like 1950-ish. If, you know, is our equipment up to speed? Is it what the doctors and whoever is referring expect?
Just took my breath away.
Oh, really? Seriously?
Oh, yeah. our equipment is adequate. We are able to follow the doctor's orders. And our outcomes are successful. That the residents who are rehabbing with a knee or a hip or whatever, they're getting the job done. It needs a total overhaul. In order to remain competitive, and that I've even had, we have a visitor that comes every day to visit this man, and we got to talking, and he had two knees done. And I said, well, did you come here? Because he's here every day visiting. No. I said, why not? Well, you don't have the good equipment that this other place had. You know, and it was gym equipment and bikes and, you know, fancy stuff. But he made that decision because of it. And I'm sure our outcomes are better or the same. You know, how he rehabbed compared to this other facility. But if business is going elsewhere, we need to update that department. Plus, we've outgrown. It is so crowded, they have to rehab in the hall, they have to rehab in the south courtroom. And this was all addressed in the study that we had done. That is something we need to tackle, and so, you know, that's something we're going to be coming back to the committee and to really talk about what we're going to have to do to
stay in the game.
Yeah, to stay in the game, absolutely.
Well, that was actually what it seems, what struck me is just observing. And I didn't really ever see the professionals rehabbing my father, but just looking at the equipment, it seemed like they built this $5 or $10 million wing on and kept all the old equipment. And it sounds like we got a little bit of that going on too. Or at least with the growth that you're seeing, you don't have enough equipment or space or whatever.
That's something we're going to have to look at down the road, in that there's a couple things I've learned about rehab and rehab patients. Typically, especially the younger ones, you know, in their 70s. Typically, in fact, I have a guy who's 93. He's here for rehab. And he was complaining that his food was cold. And I said, well, where do you eat? Because I was going to investigate this complaint. And he eats in his room. I said, because so then we have to take the food from where it's dished out in the dining room and bring it to his room. So it, you know, could get cold, I suppose. And I said, well, why don't you eat in the dining room? He doesn't want to see those old people.
93?
He know, and because he's here for rehab and he's going home. And so what the trend is of course to have a nice rehab facility that everybody can fit in, you know, the area for rehab. And the other trend is to have a separate area for the rehab patients, which is something I would like to explore in the future. So that they are, you know, we have it hooked to the current facility, but rehab is over here and the nursing home is over here.
Yeah, that the place that he was at, the second place, was Geneva Lakes, and they actually, I think it's called Geneva Lakes, and they do have a separate wing. And it's just right there by that Catholic church, the top of the hill, by the golf course that got closed down. Not in favor of closing golf courses. Oh, office. So, any other questions? But I would like it, though, when you're, you know, I really do feel that if you have a hospital that's going to release somebody that needs rehab on a Saturday night, and you're not going to have anybody there on a Sunday, you should try to say, hey, you know, keep them in the hospital one more day. They're going to get in a bad frame of mind.
We try, you know. Your comment about getting the residents early before they should be released from the hospital, that happens a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
We do try.
Yeah, okay. Any other questions? I guess I would have to say you and your predecessor have proved me wrong. I didn't really wasn't in favor of this position, but it looks like it's working, so very good. Thank you. All right. If that's, we'll have a motion to
so moved.
Receive and file. A second?
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gentz, second by Supervisor Celebrate, and let the record show that Supervisor Rose was here for this particular, has arrived. So, for.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to finish it, Jason.
Particular. I didn't hear the trumpets yet.
So. Yeah. The drum roll. I mean, I thought we should line up at the door. And
are we going to finish the agenda?
No, we thought we'd just sit here and talk to you.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The next item then is another Brookside item, report on the 2012 state survey.
Every year we're surveyed by the state, and between 9 and 15 months it's unannounced. They walk in 5-6 people that say, I'm here. Give me the following reports. I want this one in an hour, this one by tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. They walk out onto the units, they observe the residents, they pick their sample, and then they dig down deep and dirty, look at everything they can possibly look at. They watch nurse aides give baths, they watch the toilet people, they watch nurses pass medicines, they watch dressings change, bed sores treated. They interview residents, they interview their families. We put signs up saying the state's here if you want to talk to them. Here's the room they're in. We had a perfect survey. Zero deficiencies. Hasn't happened in a long time. The state is pretty good at handing out citations, immediate jeopardy, fines. We worked really hard for this, and staff deserves this because they really, really worked hard. We've made a lot of changes. We've improved a lot of systems. And not only Supervisor Rose wasn't here for the good report that we are looking like.
I heard that at the Finance Committee.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
I did. It's very good.
So that helped earn us a 5-star, you know, keep our 5-star rating. From CMS, and we were named as one of the top nursing homes in the country by the U.S. World News Report.
I saw that, and I think it's very commendable.
Yeah,
it's very good publicity.
Very cool.
It is very nice. I think we
have. Yeah, I was real excited.
Yeah. You should be. You
I
should be very proud.
I should retire now because you
got. It's like winning the Super Bowl.
No. But Aaron couldn't retire though.
She has a no retire clause in her contract.
Supervisor O'Day.
I just want to ask Fran, is Gordy West still there?
I think he's going home tomorrow.
He's going home tomorrow.
He's been there a few weeks. And I'm sure he's got a good report to get through. It seems you didn't know Gordy West was there.
I didn't know.
No.
Yeah.
Move to receive and file that.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gens, second by Supervisor Arrington, to receive and file, and with great congratulations.
When you're on the cover of the magazine, bring it in.
Okay? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance. Okay, any other matters that authorized by law to be brought before the committee? All right, then we have committee member comments. Youth and Governance have any comments? Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gens, second by Supervisor Decker. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you. You had your first and second.
Oh, I ain't even know.